Okay. How many are happy to be in the house of God? Let me see you wave back your Bible at me. Did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bible, can you say amen? Amen. If you forgot, just say, help me, Lord. Oh, okay. All right. It's a blessing to be in the house of God today. Sometimes, you know, it's very easy to take for granted, you know, when a week goes and, you know, you're still breathing, you're still surviving, you're still kicking. It's very easy to just take things for granted, but we want to thank God for his protection of our lives. Amen. Last week, we were talking about the parable of the sower. How many of you can remember what we talked about? Anybody can remember what we talked about? I want to test you now. Let me see whether that word was stolen by the enemy. How many of you can remember what we talked last Sunday? Anybody? You mean nobody can remember, or you just don't want to talk? Or both? Okay, just to recap on what we talked about, we introduced ourselves to the parable of the sower, Jesus speaking to his disciples and a crowd that had gathered at the time. You know, he's just started speaking in parables. And we saw as he was speaking in parables, he was speaking in parables to a certain group of people. And when the disciples come, all this is in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. The disciples come to Jesus and they are telling him, now, why are you speaking in parables? And he says, you know what, for you, he's addressing to the disciples and he's telling them, as for you, it has been given you the power to understand and to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To you has been given the power to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To you has been given the what? The power to what? To understand the mysteries of the kingdom. If you don't remember anything in this service, remember that, because I'm going to ask you next Sunday, okay? To us has been given power to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. There are secrets that are, the kingdom is just comprised of secrets and mysteries. You read the word of God in your human mind sometimes, many times, let me say this, many times it doesn't make any sense because you're trying to use your mind to add one to that one and to make two, but then the word of God tells you, you know, you take one and add one and it becomes one. And it doesn't make any sense to a natural mind. So there are mysteries and secrets that are found in the kingdom of God. And Jesus speaks to his disciples and tells them, you know what, to these other people, they may not understand. They have rejected me. Actually, they have annotated and they have just rejected the message of the cross. You know, it's amazing that, you know, even as Jesus was going about casting out demons from people, as he was healing the sick and as he was opening up blind eyes, as he was unstopping ears that could not hear, many people of the day would say that he was doing so by the power of the chief demon, Beelzebub. You know, it's amazing. They rejected the message of the cross. They rejected the message that Jesus brought here, brought into the world. And that's why he was speaking in parables, perchance that he would be able to explain it even though they had rejected it. And to his disciples, he says, to you has been given the power. Love it. To you has been given the power to understand the mysteries of the Lord. And we were examining what Jesus was speaking about, the ground that was resistant, that was hard. In the ancient times, what they used to do, in some places they used to plow the land and then they would sow the seeds, but sometimes they would just broadcast those seeds even without having to plow the land. And they would come later after they had broadcasted those seeds or spread the seeds to come and plow it, so it would be covered by the ground and so it'll shoot up. In this case, so Jesus is speaking a parable that is relevant even to the day. It would be so difficult, you know, for Jesus to speak such today, because we know we have machinery, we have technology that has been devised, you know, to sow seeds and men anymore, especially in America. You know, I don't see many people as in the third world countries, whereby many and flocks of people are in the shambas and the gardens trying to sow seeds. And I know most of you have done so, have you not? Well, some of you I know grew up in town and you just heard about it, you know. But some of us who grew in the Gishagi, you know, that was, you know, come the rainy season, everybody was busied up. And you know that, you know, you have to be prepared for a week of hard labor, you know, digging and all, and making sure that, you know, the seeds were sown at the right time. And so he's speaking this to his disciples, and he's speaking that the word of God is like a seed, and the sower, he speaks of this parable, and he says that the sower comes in and spreads seeds, you know, he spreads seeds everywhere, and some of those seeds fall on a very hard ground, and we saw last week that when a word of God is spoken, whether you read it from the Bible, whether you're hearing from me, that word has a target, that word has a destination. And what do we say the destination would be? The destination of any word of God spoken to you is into your heart. And I'm not speaking about the natural physical heart that pumps blood. I'm talking about the heart that contains the core values of your life, the heart that contains your dreams and the visions, where your dreams are birthed, where your visions are birthed. That's where it's directed to. So every time the word of God is spoken, whether you're hearing it from the TV, whether you're reading it from the Bible, whether you're hearing it from me or from any man of God, or whether you're sharing the word of God, its main target is to your heart. Praise be to God. That word is aimed at your heart. And when it comes into your heart, it is supposed not to lie there dormant, but it's supposed to do something. Somebody say something. And as I was preparing for our today's text, refreshed in my memory about a seed. If you read in the book of Matthew chapter 13, in the verse 31 following down there, Jesus speaks about the parable of a seed. He speaks about the parable of the leaven. You know, within a seed, whenever you see a seed, he compares the kingdom of God as a mustard seed. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? It's very, very tiny. I wish I had it. I had that. Brother Mogo brought me some mustard seeds a while back, and I tried to look for it. I don't know where we may have misplaced it. But a mustard seed is so tiny. If you look at it, you can't even believe that, you know, once sowed, it can blossom into a big tree. But you know what? Any seed that you see, within that little seed, it has. When God looks at that seed, he doesn't just look at a seed. But he sees a big tree. He sees the destiny that is rocked within that seed. Praise be to God. And guess what? How many of you know that when we sow seeds, we put the seed under the ground? We hide the seeds. And now what happens after we have hidden the seeds under the ground is none of our business, right? It is the master's business. Once you sow the seeds and you're sowing it at the right time, All you gotta do is go back, sit and relax for the seeds to come up. It is the Lord's business that causes the seed to sprout, that sends the seeds, the commands that has put power in a seed and causes it to sprout, to bring forth the blade, to bring forth the head, and to shoot some roots on the ground. And that seed becomes, and within a few days, you might go to where you sow the seeds and you might see the seedlings now germinating. And it is the joy of every farmer when you saw the seeds that you sowed a few days ago coming up, right? Did you not really feel good when they were healthy? I remember my mother used to go to the, after we sowed seed, you'd go back to the garden, and you could see the exuberance in her face as those seeds were healthy, particularly if you added fertilizer on the holes as you were sowing corn and they were coming so healthy, you know. She was very excited. And you know what? She had nothing to do with the germination and the growing of those seeds. Praise be to God. But she had one responsibility. Her responsibility was to take the seed and hide it under the soil. And the business of growth is not our business. It's the Lord's business. When the word of God lands into our heart, whether you know it, If the conditions are right and if the conditions are right, that word has no alternative. But it will begin some work whether you know it or do not know it. Praise be to God. When the word of God is spoken, it's directed to your heart. And when that word lands into your heart, Pastor, whether you know it, when you're asleep, when you're walking around, as long as the conditions is right, within that word has power. There is power locked within that word that begins to travel through the channels of your heart, that begins to travel through the valleys and the mountains of your soul, that begins to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit directs that word into channels and it's flowing into every area. You might even not be aware, but just because the conditions are necessary, the power that is locked within that word begins to work within you. Are you listening to me? And that's why somebody might come to the Lord when they were complete a wreck, a drunkard. And when the word of God lands into their heart, suddenly the habit goes away. What do you think happens? It is not the habit. It is not their will that caused them to stop. It is the word that began some work within their heart. And it told them what you have been doing is wrong and you need to stop. The word of God has power. My goodness. And when you read about the parable of the leaven, how many of you used to leaven? You know, it's called self-raising. You know, they were used to say, "I want mutua self-raising." That's what they used to say. What happens when you put leaven in a little flour? Huh? You have to hide it somewhere, right? You have to keep it somewhere. And let me tell you, there is power within that little chemical they call self-raising. The yeast. Thank you. Who said yeast? I salute you. Thank you. The yeast. When you add yeast into flour, what happens? And you mix the dough and you put yeast. If the lump of your dough was like this, and you put it maybe in a women know this very well, especially, where's Mama Ngebe? She knows what I'm talking about. You put it like in about an hour, and you go and sit. What do you think? Do you think your expectation of the dough, do you think it's going to be the same size? But when you come back, it will have done what? Do you have any role in its rising up? But the power is within the chemical. The power travels into that dough. And you know what? The power within the yeast doesn't stop until it has reached into every section of the dough. And it expands it and expands it and expands it until there is no dough to work on. If there was more dough, it will still penetrate. I don't know how it penetrates, but it penetrates and works its way through the dough until the dough broadens. Praise be to God. So is the word of God. When it is sown into your heart, whether you know it unseen by the eyes and the naked eyes of men, there is an activity going on into your heart right now. There is an activity going on into your life right now. There is an activity that is knocking down some stuff in your life right now. Oh, glory to Jesus. I wish God would open up our inner eyes and see the construction that is taking place in our hearts when we receive the word of God and when the conditions are right. And that's why there are some words you're supposed to speak and it never bothered you anymore. You know, you used to open up your mouth and you could cuss anybody. You'd, you know, verbally abuse anybody. And, it, you know, it didn't even check you. It was like your regular language. Have you not met people who speak vowel language and it doesn't even seem to hurt? It's like part of their vocabulary. They use F that and M that and whatever they use. And it is part of their lingo. And it doesn't seem to care for them. And you are left and you wonder, my goodness, even that person, why is he speaking like that? Because there's a change that has taken place in them. But wait until they give their lives to Jesus Christ. There is a change that takes place that not only changes their mind, it changes their language. What is in this word? That when it gets into my heart, it travels into the ridges and into the corners, into the crevices of my heart and changes me. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is active and alive. The word of God is like a hammer. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Somebody said, yeah, you know what? To a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When the word of God lands into your heart, everything looks like a nail. It wants to shatter everything that is anti-God. It wants to smantle everything that is anti-God. When the word of God finds the right condition of your heart, you have no alternative. And you know what the good part of it? You have no business.
greatness in what that word is doing. All you got to do is give in, is be available. Lord, I submit to your goodness. Lord, I submit in your presence. I open up my heart, Lord. Whatever you want to speak, speak, Lord. Your servant is waiting. Speak, Lord. Your servant is speaking. Speak, Lord. I am ready to hear your word. Speak, Lord. And the moment that word travels into your heart, just because of your willingness, and finds the right attitude and finds the right condition, all you got to do is sit and let the word do the work. When God says that you're more than a conqueror, you better believe that you're more than a conqueror, because in your sleep, the Lord will be working out things that will be that the enemy has been working against you. The enemy, I want you to know, church, listen to me. The enemy's business is to send things that will ostracize you. If the enemy would be us today, he would rather be in the high seas right now, riding the tides of life, riding the atrocities of life, riding, you know, atrocities and being terrorized. That is what the devil desires for your life. But when the word of God lands into your life, my pastor, when the word of God lands into your life, all you got to do is sit and relax and see the salvation of the Lord. There is more to that. Because the message of the sower is deeper. The Jesus speaks to his disciples and talks to them about a hardened ground. A ground that is trodden. A ground that is, the seeds is spread and it lands on a ground that is hard. I imagine that it's like a sidewalk. You have, you know, next to your house or wherever you go in a park, you have seen a sidewalk. A sidewalk, you know, is a hard ground. It's a place where people stop every day. Glory be to Jesus. And we saw last week that, you know what, it is possible for your heart to be so hardened, because you know what? When the enemy looks at you, you've left yourself vulnerable. And you know what? When the enemy looks at anybody to use, he only thinks about you. Hey, may be far from us that when the enemy thinks of anybody he can use, we'll be the last on the list. Or we will not even fall on the list at all. Because he knows that we have a fellowship with Jehovah God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Woe unto the man who is on that list. Because when the enemy wants to use somebody, because he is a spirit and he wants to articulate his missions and purposes through the body of somebody, you will no longer be in that list. And woe to you if you're on that list, because every time everybody wants to speak something about against other brother, they are thinking of, you know, picking up the phone and calling you. May you not be on their list when they want to talk about evil about somebody, that they will think about calling you. Oh, hallelujah, because you're not on the list. I refuse to be a sidewalk of the devil, which is heavy with the traffic of demons and demonic activity coming to my house. I refuse for my home and my family to be the center of attraction by demonic forces. I refuse for the enemy to just think about me when he thinks of manipulating the fact the purposes of his purposes here on earth. I refuse to entertain anybody that will come and distract the word of God from reaching its target, which is my heart. Glory be to Jesus. And we saw last week, church, that even though when the word of God is directed to our heart, the situation of your heart might be so callous, so hardened, you know. You come to church and you can be doing everything that you do, but you're so hardened. You know, there are people who just go to church just because of church. It is a tradition. They saw their great-grandmother going to church, and they saw their grandmother going to church, and they saw their mother going to church. And so, you know, to just propagate and to further this mission that I inherited from my ancestors, I have to go to church. We don't go to church because it's a tradition. I don't come to church because other people do come to church. I come to church because it is necessary for me to come and further my relationship with my God. I come to church because I know there'll be brothers and sisters, so that when we lift up our holy hands, we can corporately bless the name of the Lord. I come to church because it is the right thing to do. I come to church because even if nobody comes, I will still come into this house of prayer. Glory be to Jesus. That should be the primary reason you left up your work, you left up every other thing, set it aside, and you decided that I'm going to come to the house of God. Glory be to Jesus. Let us be aware. That's why Jesus speaks this word to us. Let us be aware. And you have to prophesy over your ground. If there is a hard, if there is even a possibility that you think in this area, the seeds, once they are sown, they will not even get, they will not, it is so shallow, it is so hardened. Prophesy to that piece of ground and tell me, listen to me, ground. You got to cooperate with the word of God. You have been set there in positions to receive the seed of the word of God. And when you receive it, that word has to grow. Praise the Lord. You could be having one area in our lives that is really pretty good, but in another area, we're having a problem. But in that area, that's when we need to ask God, God, I surrender my all, every corner of my life, even the unsurrendered pieces of my life, Lord, I unsurrender. I surrender my language. I surrender my mind. I surrender the way I interact with people. I surrender the way you talk. I talk to people. I surrender all. Glory be to Jesus. And next, Jesus speaks about, I love this. He speaks about the word, the seed that is broadcast or it is spread in some form of ground that is shallow. Let's see this. What day, where is it? And then the. Listen. Where is it? Verse number 5. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprung up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they were withered away. Praise be to God. We are talking about a shallow. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprung up because they had no depth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And they were scorched because they had no root and they were withered away. We talked about the hardened ground. And the Bible says that when those seeds were left, they could not even find a place in the heart, the buds of the air, which is the devil, came and stole them away. Praise be to God. And in this case, he says, and some were broadcast in some shallow land, and unbeknown to the sower, he saw like the land was good and necessary. He saw like the land was soft, but underneath it, it didn't have enough earth to shoot the roots underground. God is calling us to, God is taking us deeper. He wants us to get deeper into the things of God. Praise be to God. Not being moved by every winds of doctrine. Do you know, in these end times, there are going to be things that are going to sway us from left to right. And if somebody is not well-grounded in the doctrines of faith, you're going to find yourself almost wondering, okay, which is the right way? What am I supposed to follow? What is this? Which is this? It is the responsibility of each and every one of us because it has been given to us to understand and to know the mysteries of the kingdom, to get deeper into the word of God. What does the word of God say concerning this area that I'm going through? What does the word of God say concerning that area that my sister is going through? What does the word of God say concerning this area that I'm going through? It is impossible for any pastor to explain every detail that is in the word of God. It is our, as children of God, it is our responsibility to get deeper into the things of God ourselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And the Bible, I don't know whether your translation says this, that when the trials and tribulations come, because I don't know whether it is on there, devour them and others fell on the straight sprung because there are no. Can you bring verses upon? No, they are the previous one. The previous one. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. In another translation, the Bible says this, because of the trials and the tribulations that they received. I was sharing with a sister of mine, and I was telling them, because of the trials and the tribulations that come, and those trials and tribulations come because of the word. Praise the Lord. See, listen to me. When this word is coming to us right now, you know what? It is targeted to your heart, okay? And if the conditions of your heart are right and the word of God finds its way into your heart, what is going to happen is this. That word that is hid in your heart is going to attract trials and tribulations just because of that word.
Are you listening to me? Anybody who doesn't have the word of God, they can do all whatever they want to do, but there is no special anointing that attracts special trials and tribulations that come to a child of God who has allowed the word of God to get into their hearts. So the word of God inside of us can attract trials and tribulations just because of that word. Because the enemy is in the business of trying to make sure that the word of God doesn't even find any root into your heart. And it is only when we are deep rooted into the word of God and into the things of the Lord that we shall be able to discern that, you know what, this trial that I'm going through, this test that I'm going through right now, this tribulations that I'm going through right now is because of what I believe. Blessed is the man who knows that, man. When you know that the trials and the tribulations that you're going through are just because of the word of God and what you have believed in, then you have this confidence that it is going to be okay. You have this confidence that the Lord is going to take me through. You have this confidence that the Lord is going to bring a settlement into what I'm going through. Hallelujah. But endure for a while when the tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word. That's what the Bible says. You know, and let me tell you, I have read this scripture, but when I read that, I'm like, okay, let me read it again. While yet they have no root in themselves, but endureth for a while, and when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, straight away he stumbles. God is taking us to a place whereby we will be so deep rooted when the trials and tribulations. Let me tell you a story, man. When I started, you remember I told you that we started reaching out to the homeless people in downtown Dallas. And every Saturday we've been going down there preaching and telling people about Jesus, just sharing the love of God. Guys, you've given up your blankets, and we took those blankets and we've given to those people. Let me tell you, I was really sitting down and analyzing. Since we started that mission, man, let me tell you, it is like hell and high water just erupted in my walk with the Lord, in my business, in my everything. Seems like whatever could go wrong, everything has been going wrong. And I wondered, and then you know what? There are things that come and give you a break. You know what I'm talking about, Sister Charity? Okay, you have something, you know, you know your boss, maybe, you know, you've been working nicely with them, and suddenly they speak a word that, you know, where did that one come from? Have you ever asked yourself something like that? Where did that one even come from? And you say, okay, maybe, you know, they woke up from the wrong side of the bed. That's what people say. I don't know whether that is true. They woke from the wrong side of the bed, or maybe something happened. And then you say you pray for them and everything seems to settle down, and maybe 2 days later or three, four, or maybe a week gives you a break. Sister Noel calls you and you wonder, okay, where did that one also come from? I'm just using this as an example, okay? And then, you know, it gives you a break, you know, and then you say, okay, I'll pray for my sister. Maybe she's going through a rough day. You pray for her and everything seems to settle. And then 2 weeks later, Mutali calls you. And the first thing is, is that an example? I'm just giving an example. You know, we can handle those kinds of trials and tribulations. But when it comes back to back, it's like the job, you know, before even this one happens, this one happens. Before even you are dealing with this one happens. Before this one happens, and you are like, Mwadhani, where are you? I need you right now. And you shout and yell and wonder, where are you? Let me tell you, I've gone through some stuff and I'm like, wow. Received a report. Let me tell you, some of you know that I'm in the trucking business. And driver called me and told me, oh, you know what? I've got, are you sitting? First of all, he told me, are you standing up? Can you find somewhere to sit down? Every time I hear that, are you standing up or are you, you need to sit down because I need to speak to you about something. Okay, what's happened? Okay, I was driving throughout the night and there was some wild hogs. Wild hogs, they were crossing the road and I was doing 65s. I hit some of them, I killed some. And cut a long story short, the front of your truck is no more. There's no radiator. And it's 11 at night. Okay. Now, you know, those are not good news. Okay, where are you? I'm in the middle of nowhere. There's nobody. All I see is trees and darkness. And even wonder, okay, where do you begin? Look for a phone call and make some phone call. Luckily enough, we get somebody to come and tow him.
at the end of the story, while they are still fixing it, I understand it's going to cost me about, oh, thank you so much. Forgot my handkerchief. At the end of the story, I hear that it's going to cost me $2,780-something. While still they're working on it, I receive a phone call. Oh, you know what happened? Okay, what happened? 20 miles from there. Oh, you know what? I was just driving and the truck showed the light and it is no more. What happened? I don't know. I tried to crank it. It's not working. The motor blew. Now you're talking of thousands of money. Okay. So I take a breath and I'm praying. God, Jesus, help me. What am I going to do? I'm talking about a few days ago, okay? While this is happening, the truck that has hit the hogs is repaired. And I said, okay, you have to go and work so that you can bring the money to fix this other one. The guy, I sent him to North Carolina. And just before he gets there, there is a low bridge. He gets under the bridge, the trailer is completely shattered. Okay? The same guy who told me, are you sitting down? He called me and said, are you sitting? And you know what? We are talking back to back. Okay? So I'm like, okay, what is happening, Lord? I have to understand this. Because the last time I checked, I was paying my tithes. And how many of you know that you could be paying your tithes, but there are trials and tribulations that are not anywhere attached to the tithes? That is just a commandment that you're obeying. But just because of what is inside of you, the enemy wants to come and take it away. And sometimes, and you know what? There's this thought that came to me. Why am I going even to this homeless? Because this is what is bringing me all these things. Why am I helping them? Because when I was not going there, I was not receiving all these tides of avalanches and hurricanes and tsunamis. I thought like that. I'm not kidding you. I thought like that. And I said, I'm not, you know what? Do I not stop going this? Okay. So guess what now? Now listen how the devil really works. Now, this trailer that really got under the bridge, it was being worked for almost a month. Somebody was working on it because, you know, the DOT regulations, you have to keep your equipment right and everything. And so when it was just about ready, this when this guy said, okay, let me start him off with the right footing. Let me give him a good trailer so he doesn't get in problems. I forgot to tell the insurance to add it on the insurance. Guess what? I've already lost my trailer, almost $7,000. For them, they called the emergency. The cops called the emergency tow truck. And when they, let me tell you, if you're ever stranded on a road, God forbid, I pray for you and pray for yourself too, that you'll never be involved in an accident whereby the police have to call a tow truck. Never allow. Call the tow truck yourself. But these guys, it was so, I mean, it blocked the whole highway so they didn't have anything to do. Called a tow truck to come and pull the long trailer from under the bridge. At the end of the story, they're asking me for $4,000. Tell me whether this would not shake you. If I am not grounded, if I was not grounded in God, let me tell you, I'll say, you know what? I'm going to do what I gotta do. You know, these things are not working out. But because that's why you have to be completely, let me tell you, there was such a peace. I have never understood it. There was such a peace, especially when this guy called me, told me he is under the bridge, because Catherine, they called my wife, and my wife called me. I was praying, actually. My wife came and tapped me when I was praying. Do you see the irony? I was actually praying. My wife told me, okay, this one, you I think you have to. Okay, I said, what is it now? I'm just praying. Can't you let me pray? And in my heart, I said, okay, this is another something, a bombshell. And this is when they told me about this. Now, these things are coming back to back until now. I'm wondering, okay, God, now, I started praying now, protect my life, protect my wife, protect the lives of my children, because I don't know what is the next thing that is going to hit me. And you know what? The Spirit of God told me it's just because of obeying the Word of God, going and preaching. You know, it's like you're on the offensive. So it is part of the package, Church of God. When you decide to be serious with God, I tell you, man, you know what? I'm not going to pray for trials and tribulations to come away from you, but it is part of the package. I will pray for you to be strong, because really, trials and tribulations are going to come your way. When they come, they need to be you to be completely be anchored.
Glory be to Jesus. Because it is because of what? This one here. It is because of the Word of God. When you take the Word of God and it has begun some work within you, it is doing something that compels you to do certain things that you have heard from the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ looks at you through the impression of the things that you do. Christ looks at you not just because you're a child of God. He already knows that, my brother Frank. He already knows that you're a child of God. But he looks at you at, you know, with the expression of what you do is what he sees you. In other words, if you have taken the Word of God, found the right and necessary condition for growth, and the growth is doing its work, the work of God is happening in you, and it compels you to do certain things for the Lord and for the kingdom. I tell you what, that's what, when Jesus sees that, he sees now, okay, this is as a result of growth. The Word of God is being given the right condition and is working. When you wake up in the morning and the first thing you think is not a cup of tea, but is going to your closet to tell God thank you for the night, that is growth. When you pick up the phone and you sense it, you know, you sense it that brother so-and-so is in trouble, and you call them and you want to encourage them and pray over them over the phone. And the Lord looks at that, he sees growth. When somebody comes and tells you, oh, you know what, my sister, like when you're going through trials and tribulations, I need a crying shoulder and I need somebody to be attentive. When I call you my brother, I need you to pick up the phone and be there on the phone with your mind and with your heart. Oh, do you know there sometimes, have you ever called somebody or talking to somebody, they are completely detached from what you're telling them? I hate that. And you know it. I know that you're not there. Oh, you know, my brother, I've been going through this. And you know what? You are in your kitchen. I really don't like it. When I'm in trials and tribulations, I want you to forget about your kitchen. Forget about the dirty diapers. Forget your crying children. I'm in trouble. I need your attention. Please look at me directly. I want you to hear with me your heart. Hear with me your physical. I need you to see you. I need to see you responding to what I'm going through. Because we are one and one another. You know, nowadays it's so hard to call somebody when you are in trouble. Because, you know, we have not taken care of each other. Nigwa, you know, we don't take care of each other. We are so peripheral, you know, juju, you know. When my brother tells me about his son, you know, he's like, okay, I've had so many sons, you know, getting sins or what. And you will never pray. But God wants us, that's why, God, we are worshiping. That's why we are members of the body of Christ. When one part of the body suffers, I am also struggling. How can I be successful if my hand is withered and my hand is in pain? How can all these other members of my body celebrate? Oh, you will never say that. But when even your pinky, it hurts. They call this pinky. I don't know why they don't call it the blue key or the purple key. The pinky. When your pinky hurts, you can call in for work, you know, for you to go to seek medical advice. Can you imagine the whole 99% of your body just says, okay, I'm not going to work because of the just 0.01% of your body. It means even the littlest, even the least of us is very important. Praise the Lord. There's no one who is the least. There's no one. Every single one is important. And I need you. We need each other. Because you know what? As long as we're in this body, and as long as we have allowed the Word of God even to transverse through into our hearts, let me tell you, it is part of the package. You are going to be probably next. It might be tomorrow when you're going to receive your trials and temptations. And you need to cry out for somebody to come and help you. Are you listening to me? It is part of the package. Do not rebuke the devil, because the devil is not rebuked. He's coming for the word, and it is necessary for the trials and tribulations to come so that you can be well grounded. Once you pass the test, you go to the next level. I've never seen anybody who succeeds in grade 5 and they return them to grade 4. They always go to the higher, the next grade. How do you think we are going to be promoted to the next level? By just saying, oh, you hit the trials there. You'll be taken to grade 3. It is through trials and temptations. When you go through. Now, do not go and tell anybody that I said it's going to be easy. It is going to be hard. Man, are you thinking of, I mean, how much money do you think people make? You brought a bill of 2,700, umelipa, and then
your truck is mvunjikia motor, you are up with your binas 4,000. Kwani, how much do you think people make? How much does the devil think I make? I need to pay for my mortgage. I need to feed my children. But they will come. But let me tell you, even as they came, I am telling you the truth before the Lord. The Lord moved somebody that we use in our business. They normally, you know, they normally extend credit, you know, to subsidize. It's a long business. It's a long story. But what happened? The Lord touched the heart of somebody who normally buys the bills. And he said, oh, I am so sorry. I'm just going to write, you know, authorize $6,000 and you can pay it by the end of the month. I was stranded. I didn't know what to do. It was hard. You know, I was when we sang that song that you lead me through fire, I said, oh, yes, Jesus. Sometimes, you know, you sing and you don't know. But when you've been through the fire and you have come out of the fire smokeless, without even smelling fire, you know that God, you can sing, you lead me through fire. Whatever you sing, Sister Veronica. You lead me. Let me tell you, it makes sense. When you've been through fire and you've come out, when they cannot smell even a kamoshi, because the Lord's hand was pulling you. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. And he says, okay, the next one, I have to finish this today. The next one, he says, and the other seeds fell among thorns. And what happened? Let's read that. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Some fell among thorns, and some, I think that is explained in verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Can you read that? Deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. What are the cares of this world? The cares of this world. Let me tell you, when sin was introduced into human race through Adam, it was just sin. But attached, there were some writers. When I was doing insurance, and maybe Brother Steve, Pastor Steve can tell us, when you write a policy of insurance, you can have some riders, you know. Like you can have a rider that covers your child, you know, for school, or you can have a rider. They call them riders. I don't know why they call them riders, but they are called riders anyway. They're attachment to the main policy that can cover your children, can cover maybe your automobile. When sin came into the world, it had some riders. You know, the cares of this world. They're part of the cares of this world. You know what? I'm not telling us not to care about the things of this world. But there is a point whereby you can care so much about the things of this world, and it chokes the effectiveness of the word in your life. Now, what are the cares of this world? It is when you're so much engrossed in money. Oh, you know what? I want to buy 5 plus by the end of this month. And so you're taking a quadruple, and you're actually raising up your antennas for anybody who is offering overtime. You have 4 jobs, because at the end of the month you have to buy 5 plots in Kenya. Cares of this world. Who told you you're even going to live to see those plots? By the way, I'm not saying that it is bad to invest, but it is good to invest while knowing that you're not carried by those things. Have you not seen people who are pursuing things and they have amassed things and they amassed things on themselves and they even never live to see them or to enjoy them? Did you hear I told you about when the stock market was coming down, of billionaires who lost millions and they killed themselves? They still had money, but just because they lost some millions, they had to end their lives. That is craziness, the chaos of this world. The chaos of this world. Let me ask you, and I don't want anybody to raise their hand. This is a test. God has been given you, by the way, I'm not targeting anybody. You see, in a congregation like this, you might think, Pastor knows about, I don't know about anybody. It's the Spirit of God just telling me to speak this, okay? God has faithfully paid for your bills, okay? Consistently. You've been paying your mortgage, you've been paying your rent, there's food in your house, okay? And everything has been going so okay. And the Lord has been faithful, you've been doing well. Suddenly on a Sunday morning, which is very rare, your supervisor calls you and he tells you, oh, you know, sister or brother so-and-so, there is an overtime opportunity that has risen up and you really don't have to go, but
you know, I thought of calling you first. They know. Let me tell you, the devil is very cunning. He knows Sunday is a day of worship. I thought of calling you first, and there are almost 300 employees that you should have called to ask you whether you would want to take it. Huh? What would you do? If you're really deep-seated with the Lord, what would you do? There is when I beer, and there's money, and there's the worship of your Lord God. There is an opportunity to make a few cents on a Sunday morning when you're supposed to go to the house of the Lord. What would you do? If you're deep enough, you know the answer. And let me tell you, church, that may not be the exact test that you get every single day. There are tests that take various forms, and they come to us whereby we are supposed to make the call, to make the decisions. Am I supposed to go on the side of God, or am I supposed to do this? There's an opportunity to party somewhere where I'll meet with this sister so-and-so. And you know, when I meet them, I feel my heart just singing, just some things bubbling within my heart. Do I have to go there? And there's a women's ministry that is supposed to meet at this particular day. Do I go to this ministry? Yeah, I even don't like seeing Sister Purity there. So do I go to this party? You know? There's an opportunity that you have been called. There's a conference that is organized by the area pastors, and there's this very knowledgeable man that is teaching us about entrepreneurship, biblical entrepreneurship, and then you have an opportunity to go out of your area, you know, to do other things, and you've been called to make a decision. What call are you going to make? The cares of this world. I have to get this. I have to get the other. Just because you saw your neighbor driving a Lexus 703, now you want to even beat them more. You want to work so hard and work the quadruple so that in the next year, at this time next year, and you say in your heart, this time next year, I'll be packing an 803 series so that they will see that store. You know? The cares of this world. They carry us. And we struggle. And the Bible says that they might come and choke the effectiveness of the world. Praise be to God. We have to be men and women who discern. It is good to do business. It's good to make money. It is good, but everything has to have, it has to have what? What do they call? Order and balance. There has to be balance in everything. Give to Caesar what belongs to? Caesar. And to God what belongs to? God. Let me tell you, the productivity of your word, of the word of God within us, it is in competition, because the devil knows that in that word, it carries the destiny. When God looks at that word landing into your heart, he not only sees his word, but he sees a dream that is coming to pass. When God looks at that word, he sees somebody, and a televangelist in some 2 years to come, just because you took that word. My God, some dreams have been so short-circuited by the devil just because they've been choked by the cares of this earth. I choose for the word of God not to be choked by any cares of this earth. Yes, the devil might think that he might destroy a trailer that I paid $7,000 for. He might even take my truck under the bridge. But I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to compromise my faith with God. I'm still going to believe in my God. Because as long as I am alive, as long as I am kinking, one day is equal to 1,000 days. And what the devil has stolen, I know God has the ability to make me recover. Praise be to God. When your husband tells you, I don't love you anymore. When your wife tells you, I don't love you anymore. Trials and tribulations. Need to pray for them. When the children are acting up and they don't want to listen to you. Trials and tribulations. My God, the cares of this earth. Children of God, listen to me. If there was anything I'll tell you, go ahead and examine everything within our lives. What are the things that take the first priority? That if you hear of something, you had better go towards the thing that you've been told to go, as opposed to the very, very call. And the Spirit of God makes this still voice. Oh, you know, child of God, better be careful, because where you're going, you might land in a problem. The people that you're associating with, sooner or later, you'll be doing what they do. You know, you better be careful, because the words that you're speaking right now, they might land you in a problem. Be careful, because, you know, whatever you're doing, disobeying the traffic rule, you might find yourself in jail. Hey, be careful, because that ticket that you failed to pay, You know, the people who get, you know, get tickets and they fail to pay, but I'm not going to pay for that ticket. And when you're stopped, there's a warrant of your arrest. You have saved Pastor Tony's number on speed dial, just in case, because you know you've never paid that ticket. And when the police stops you, oh, can I say, they check your driver's license? Oh, can you step aside? You calling me direct speed dial. Let me tell you, we have to be balanced. Take care of your business when you can. All right? I don't even know why I said it, by the way. But there are certain things that we do that we know that they are not right. Huh? And you pass through red lights and you do things that are not supposed to be done. You steal some things in Walmart, even those little things when you go. Hmm? And you put it on display. Hey, this one is, hey, this one the Lord blessed me. Blessed you with what, you thief? Need to return it and repent so that it can be well with your soul. Little things we do here and there, you know them. I may not really, it's only a man and God who knows your heart. God knows it, that you did it. You know, that girl that you've been eyeing. Can I talk? That girl that you've been eyeing and you know it is wrong. You know in your heart, God, I'm supposed to be doing this. And you've just been having good time, you know. You feel actually butterflies when you talk to her. And you know it's not right. Stop it! You're going to land yourself into problems. That man that you're denying. Huh? That when you think about him, you just feel everything, your head goes upside down. Actually, your head is down, your legs up. Stop it. So that you can be well with your soul. Are you listening to me? I've never spoken like what I'm talking to the middle, so forgive me. I don't even know why I'm saying this. The cares of this world choke the effectiveness and productivity of word in our lives. Rectify your life when it is due time. It is good to know whether when you're faced with trials and tribulations that you know what, they're coming for the right thing, not just because of things that got you in the trouble in the first place. If you never paid for a ticket and you're being arrested, you know you ought to be arrested because you know you knew you were given 30 days. You could have even called the prison or the judge and made arrangements to pay pole pole. But you failed and you said, you know what? What are they going to do? And you put a swagger. You know, you are going and you don't care attitude, whatever they want to do, they want to do. You know, there are people who talk carelessly like that. When they arrest you, don't call me. Call the judge. Don't even call Julius, because Julius is going to call me too. He's very merciful. That's what he was going to do. You know. And then finally, listen. They're the seeds that fell on the good ground. Now listen to me very carefully. Do you want to think that in the good ground that there was no trials and temptations? It might be also possible that even in the good ground there are thorns. Yeah? It might be there are areas whereby it was shallow, but the owner of the good ground made a decision that you know what, these thorns have to move if I have to be productive in the word of God. There were trials and tribulations because I think I'm in a good ground that came, but they never swayed me. They affected me for sure. And I felt like, you know, maybe one night I didn't even sleep thinking where I'm going to get the $4,000. But eventually there was peace that was flowing through me. So also in the good ground, you are bound to experience these things, but because of your decision, that ground is going to be good because you're going to take care of those things. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says that this good ground, it is the responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the sower. The sower, what I'm doing right now, I'm just broadcasting the word of God. And we have various hearts here. There are hearts already that rejected me, God forbid, here. There are hearts that are saying, well, Pastor, you're talking too much. Shut up. The hearts are saying, oh, more than in a knee, God, please help me. The hearts that are saying, they are so excited by the time they get there. Oh, what am I going to argue? We forget about everything. You know? But the hearts that are saying, oh, God, this is me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Your word needs to be productive in my life. Your word carries destiny. It carries my visions. It carries the destinies of my children. Oh, I have to allow the word of God, because when it comes,
Once it lands into my heart, God will bring the productivity. He will cause it to grow. He will cause it to grow even when I'm not aware. And I know this character that I have is going to be disintegrated when the word, when it meets with the word of God. Lord, I allow your word to come. And when trials and temptations come, it will not be sweet. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Hallelujah. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to God. I'm just concluding here. Can somebody read for us Mark 4, 26 to 29? And as you do so, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of thy word gives light, it gives understanding unto the simple. Somebody read Mark 4, 26, and we're going to conclude. Mark 4, 26 to 29.
He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone scatters seed on the ground, and will sleep and rise night and day, and the seed will sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest.
Praise the Lord. Now listen to, I want to tie up with the Matthew 12. 25 to 29. Listen to what the Bible says. Matthew 12, 25 to 29. It says this, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. 26, if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. Now, how then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, By whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Verse 28, which is very important. But if I cast demons out, if the word of God comes in us and removes things that are not right within us, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Are you getting the revelation? If God is using his word to come and remove things that are not necessary in your life, it means therefore there is a higher power that is at operation in your heart that is doing some work within you. Then the kingdom of God has come upon us. When we surrender our lives unto God and there's work within us, then the kingdom of God has started work within our lives. Beloved, I beseech you by the mercies of the Lord that we be aware of this concept that the Lord is teaching us. I dare us to be a good ground. Good ground will absorb any seeds in spite of tribulations and trials and high water and everything that will come against you. The trials and tribulations that we receive is as a result of the word of God that is at work within us. I dare every single one of us to be good ground. Stand on your feet. Amen.